You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
There is an epidemic of gang violence in the city of Chicago, and hold on to that idea of epidemic for a moment. 40 homicides in the first month of this year, January, just a couple of weeks ago. On paper, that's just a number, but in a funeral home, it adds up to a lot of body bags. Here's Spencer Leak, the owner of Leak & Sons Funeral Home.
I'm just seeing in the last 10, 15 years, random violence like I've never seen it before. Last year, of the 125 homicides where we serviced those families, about 90% were young people.
What's needed in Chicago, you might say, is a ceasefire, but not in a military sense. Gary Slutkin is a trained epidemiologist who treats violence like any other infectious disease. And in 2000, he founded the intervention group Ceasefire.
Violence is like the great infectious diseases of all history. I mean, we used to look at people with plague, leprosy, TB, as bad and evil people.
So Gary says part of Ceasefire's strategy is to take on the gangs, using reformed gang members as violence interrupters, to use that medical metaphor, folks who can stop the bleeding, who can interrupt a cardiac incident in progress, get people engaged in violence to understand, at the moment, what's at stake. Interrupters like Amina Matthews.
This is unacceptable for me to be holding this boy, this young man's obituary. Schools, churches, your mama's house, your cars, those are safe zones. And when I was about your age, I was making some real stupid decisions and some stupid calls that was causing me, my life, blood on my hands and my head. Stop.
Whoa. Amina Matthews, the owner of that voice, joins us in the studio this morning. That is astounding.
Thank you.
So I'm full of rage. I got somebody by the neck, and I've got a weapon, and you can step into that and tell me to shut down?
I will. I'll have you stand down and think about the consequences of, if you do take that life, what's going to happen, and what's going to happen to that life if you take it. So.
Well, I wish all our listeners could see your face right now, because I am standing down, folks. She's a main character along with two other violence interrupters profiled in the new Frontline documentary, The Interrupters. It airs tomorrow on PBS stations. And also with us is award-winning author Alex Kotlowitz, who's also something of a legend there on the streets of Chicago. He's author and producer of the documentary, The Interrupters. Alex, welcome to the program.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
So Amina is an extraordinary character. The idea of an interrupter of violence in progress is an extraordinary idea. How did you discover this?
So, you know, I've been, for myself and my colleague on this film, Steve James, you know, we've both been struggling and grappling with the violence in our cities. But both of us have lost people and have seen the profound impact it has on families, on communities. And what interested me about Ceasefire, and I will say I was a bit of a cynic at first, is that, as you pointed out early on, is that it's this program that sort of looks at violence as a public health matter. And one of the things that I really admired about it is it takes the moral judgment out of the equation. So somebody like Amina goes out on the streets, and she's not out there to lecture people. She's not out there to pass judgment, to tell them they're good or bad people. She's just out there to simply interrupt the next act of violence.
And if it's a lecture, it's a short one, Amina, because it's like, stop, look at what you're doing. I mean, in a sense, it makes the most perfect sense. How did you get involved with Ceasefire?
Well, to make perfectly clear is, when I talk to these guys, it's not a lecture. It's just educating them about how they think and was raised into to feel about violence. Because in order to create a violent act, that's a feeling. And to carry it out. So how I got involved with Ceasefire, 5 years ago, I moved back to Chicago. And a brother that I used to hustle with named James Highsmith needed my assistance in this conflict. A mother called T.O. Hardiman, the director over the interrupters, that my son has a gun. He's going to go back up there because his brother got beat up and his gym shoes were stolen. Now, this is an all-boys Catholic school. So James called and asked, could I help? Because I might have had some in-rolls in there. And I did. And
So you get a call saying there's a guy with a gun who's going to go to a school and shoot somebody mm-hmm. who stole his brother's sneakers.
And beat him up.
Can you help me out?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you said, yes, yeah, sign me up.
I said, what time is school out? What time do they dismiss?
How did you know you could be effective here?
Well, you know, because where I come from, Chicago may look pretty big, but it's a very small town. There's somebody that knows someone that knows Amina. So if it's not the grandmother or if it's not the aunt, the uncle, they know what I'm about. So if I come and say, look, in peace, this is what I need for you guys to do. This is what I need for you and your family to do. And they'll say, you know what, let's kind of, you know, chill and see what she's talking about. And it makes sense. So what I'm doing is educating and change their mindset on how we thought about the reaction of violence. So
and that makes you bulletproof?
I'm not bulletproof. I'm just so grateful. The Creator has put me on purpose, and I'm very happy. And I changed the mindsets of how people looked at violence, such as my mom did, the story of redemption, because my history is just like these guys and girls in Chicago, in the boogie down Bronx, in Brooklyn, Harlem. It's no different. You know, we thought that we were protecting our land. We thought that we had to talk, but we never did shoot 2:30 in the morning, 2:30 in the afternoon where kids are coming home. We never shot in your mother's house or your mother's car. We never did that. So we had to educate these guys about really membership, if that's what you want to have. If you want to have street membership, these are the things that you have to do, and let's establish safe zones.
Talking with Amina Matthews, who's a character in the new film, The Interrupters. It's a frontline documentary. One of the things that's smart about this film is how, using your broad experience as a journalist in Chicago, you really see that part of the violence here comes out of a deep, long-standing sense of demoralization in some of these neighborhoods. And Spencer Leake, the owner of that funeral home I referred to a moment ago, Leake and Sons, really expresses some of that at one point. It's very, very moving in the documentary. Let me play it.
I was the chauffeur for Dr. Martin Luther King when SCLC made their first venture into the North by way of Chicago. The black community, we were the nobodies, and the civil rights era gave us hope that we could be somebody. How can the president of the United States be a black man? I never thought I'd see that in my lifetime. But while I'm seeing the president on television and the images of him leading the free world, I'm still burying black kids. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Voice of Spencer Leake from the documentary The Interrupters. Amina Matthews, you got him to tell that story.
Spencer's been around in our community forever. You know, back in the early 60s, he had his first funeral home, and he services the community quite well. And for him, it's not about the money. Of course, he has to feed his family. And when there's a family that loses a life because of the violence, he makes sure that the mother can remember, you know, because in our days, I can't fathom, you know, burying one of my children. It just wasn't supposed to be set up like that. If it was for illness or whatever, yeah. But just to think that someone's going to kill my kid, that's something that I can't think about, you know. But he steps up and he puts them away with more just phenomenal dignity and make sure that they're remembered. But then what surprises us the most is when we're going to the funerals and we see these young guys and these young girls when they're standing next to a corpse, you know, it's like they're sending them away with high honors, a Purple Heart, if you will, that they died for a great purpose, like one of our guys and our brothers and sisters that went over to war. They really feel that way in the streets of Chicago.
And
that
so the war continues.
And the war continues.
Well, Amina Matthews, it's important that you stick around stay with us here. How are you going to know when you're over your head in some of these interruption moments?
I was out there. You know, I was out there and I understand exactly what's going on, and I need them and they need me. And I know that if I continue to educate them, to get them to buy into the campaign, that you don't have to kill anybody to resolve a conflict, I'm going to stay around and I need to continue, you know, furthering their education to give, to make sure that they have something to put in their hands in place of a gun, you know, because these guys and girls, they're making a way for their family, they think. They're making a way for, you know, the young bucks that come up behind them. But they can't make a way if they're in the prison system.
You need something to wipe your eyes there?
No.
All right.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Amina Matthews is a violence interrupter. Her voice appears in the new film, The Interrupters, from Frontline. Alex Kotlowitz is author and producer of that documentary. He joined us from Chicago. Alex and Amina, good luck and thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Earlier this hour, we talked about the parental responsibility. You can comment on anything that you've heard in the show all hour long at our website. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.